Faith. It's the name of a girl I knew once in Petawawa. It's a way of describing a body of doctrine or teachings to which people can then subscribe. Faith is also a theme and a subject of today's liturgy, although not in either of the ways that I've just mentioned. Every year on this second Sunday of Easter, we hear the same reading from the Gospel according to John about doubting Thomas and his demand for physical proof before he would believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead and was truly alive. Thomas got his proof, as we heard in the story today, and himself became a living witness of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' concluding words in this episode may be spoken to Thomas, but they are actually spoken for all of us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Even when we're given the opportunity of seeing and hearing, there can still be doubt. At the end of Matthew's gospel, when the risen Lord appears in Galilee to his disciples and he speaks with them, Matthew writes, "They saw him and they worshiped him, but some doubted." Matthew writes, "But some doubted." That phrase always, always leaps out at me and catches my attention. Maybe it's because I can personally identify with it. How about you? You ever question and wonder and doubt a lot of the stuff we've been taught about Christianity and the Bible? I do it all the time. Wonder in my head, doubt in my mind, question. But my heart and the experience that I've had in my life of Christ's love and the power of God's Spirit always brings me back, because faith is not about what's going on in your head. It's not about what you're thinking in and with your mind. Faith is about the attitudes and the actions that flow out of our hearts. Faith is love in action. We become living witnesses of Jesus' resurrection from the dead when we allow ourselves to become filled with compassion toward others that is so great, we're willing to risk life itself in order to bring peace and healing and goodness and new life to them. In the gospel lesson today, we see Jesus breathing the Holy Spirit into his disciples. As the Spirit of God brought life at the beginning of creation, the same Spirit through the crucified and risen Lord now brings new spiritual life to a recreated humanity. The church, having received the Spirit, embodies Christ's mission of forgiveness and of healing. The greatest example of faith that we have been given is Jesus himself. Listen to these words from the letter to the Hebrews, right after citing this huge long list of heroes and heroines of faith. The writer says, "Let us then run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." Faith is a pure gift. This faith of Jesus is a pure gift that comes from God to us when we keep the eyes of our lives fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. When other people come to see this love in action, this cross-shaped love that always brings forgiveness and healing, then doubts get dispelled and faith gets renewed. It's this love in action, born in the name and in the very way of Jesus of Nazareth, that makes our risen and living Lord visible to the world that we live in today. This is what happens every time men and women from this church prepare and take and serve a meal to the people at the Grind in downtown Pembroke who have almost nothing. This is what happens every time the women of this parish serve another funeral lunch for a grieving family. This is what happens every time you set some food aside at home to bring to church on our designated food bank Sunday so Mike Sibley can haul it all down to St. Joseph's Food Bank. This is what happens every time you visit somebody who's sick in the hospital or confined and shut in at home or elsewhere, and on and on. There's a paradox to faith, though, that's really important to think about and to contemplate. Here's the paradox. The deeper, more tragic, destructive, and devastating the human situation and circumstance, the deeper, the stronger, and the more powerful the faith that can arise out of it. And don't we keep hearing about more mass murders, terrorist attacks, victims of domestic violence, victims of natural disasters, airplane and car crashes, terminal illnesses, etc. I think this is exactly why Jesus invited doubting Thomas to touch his wounds. Here's the crucified Lord, raised from the dead and still bearing the marks of his brutal abuse and suffering, showing up right in the face of doubting Thomas and saying, "Look, Thomas, it's me. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. Reach out your hand and put them in the prints of the nails in my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in the wound in my side. I really died for you. I really love you more than you'll ever actually comprehend. And it's all so that you can be set free to love in the very way that I have loved you and have life more abundantly." And all Thomas can do is fall down on his knees and say, "My Lord and my God." For us to touch Jesus' wounds means for us to willingly and to freely risk ourselves, all that we are and all that we have, in acts of compassion and generosity that bring peace and forgiveness and healing and new life to people and to situations that have been totally undone by tragedy and evil. Faith is love in action, defined, displayed, and emptied out over all time in history on the cross of Christ. This is the love that's stronger than death, stronger than evil, that no evil or tragedy can ever overpower or destroy. Faith is our commitment to love even in the face of our doubts, to love God and to love each other. When I was around 12 years old, my great aunt on my mother's side of the family came to move in with us. We called her Tante T, which in German means Aunt T, T for Teresa. Tante T was in her early 90s when she came to live with us. A single woman all her life, a woman of great dignity and gentleness, very smart. Whenever we looked into Tante T's room at home to make sure that she was still okay, it seems like she was always sitting at her desk with her giant German script Bible wide open, a magnifying glass, and her head buried in the pages of this Bible. So the standard answer to the question at home of hey, how's Tante T doing? Have you looked in on her? How's she doing? Yeah, she's fine. She's still cramming for the finals. That was our line. And Tante T loved going to church. She never missed church. Every Sunday when we drove to church, we had to drive past this huge Roman Catholic church exactly at the time that hundreds and hundreds of people were crossing the street in between their masses. So Dad would have to slow down the car so he didn't hit anybody, and Tante T would say every single week without fail, "Oh my, what strong faith those people have. Oh my goodness, what strong faith those people have." Well, I could never figure this out as a kid. Why would she say that? She doesn't know them from Adam. She doesn't know anything about them. How could she say that? Years later, I finally figured out what she was doing. She was putting the best construction on what she saw and letting those people's commitment to being together at Mass every Sunday speak to her in her own faith and build her up in her faith. Faith is our commitment to love even in the face of our doubts, to love God and to love each other always with respect and honor and dignity and service. So to all of you who've come out to this church this morning, I say, blessed are you who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Amen.